Today on Real Radio.
Every one of us, we are subjects in a kingdom that has a king. Some of us know who our king is, and you know what? We would risk our lives and cross land and sea for him. Just to bring him a drink of water.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse look at the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. We're now in chapter 22, and much of this part of this narrative reveals Saul's jealousy of David. Now, David wasn't even the king yet, but still had men who appeared to be loyal to him. And as this story continues to unfold, we see that this is yet another valuable lesson and demonstration of spiritual warfare. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now, in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel, chapter 22. It's called The Two Kingdoms.
And so they come to David. They flee one kingdom and they go to another kingdom, which in the eyes of the flesh is not even a kingdom. What does David have? He's hiding in a cave. Hi, you're going to be our king, I guess. And can you imagine they're looking around? Where are we? What are you hiding in here for? What kind of a deal is that? Hey, everybody, if you guys are in distress, discontent, and you're in debt, come on over. I'm going to introduce you to this guy. You're going to meet this guy. He's really cool. And he's going to just lead us out of all this stuff. Great, where does he live? Oh, he doesn't have a house. He's going to lead me out of debt? He doesn't have a house? He's going to take away all my troubles? Yeah, he's a king. Oh, he's a king. Where's his palace? Oh, down near the Negev, just off the Dead Sea, up some canyon of the goats, where you got to climb up there and there's just a hole. You crawl in this hole and that's his palace. Well, really? Does he have a crown? No, but he's got some really cool curly hair. His name's David. Well, what's his experience? His experience, he plays a mean harp. Really good harp player. He can get down on that harp. And sheep. He's a good shepherd. Legend has it that he killed a giant with the giant's own sword after hitting him in the head with a rock. But I don't know. But come on, he'll take care of us. That's nuts. Who would make that decision? Who would do that? This sounds crazy. Unless life has so squeezed you that, I wish I had a little doll right now to illustrate this. You squeeze it in the middle and the eyes get real big. You know, like that. Eyes get big. When the pressures of life squeeze you, it's a good thing spiritually that your eyes open up. Because they were squeezed out of one kingdom right into another one. But that kingdom was just being born. And so these guys that are in debt, they owe more than what they're worth. Factually, then figuratively, that's very sad. They owe more factually where in a symbolic sense, their life, if given, couldn't pay their debt either. You know, somebody will say, well, you know, we're in debt, but here we go. We just paid that off. We gave everything I have, but at least we have one another. Or at least we have our lives. The word means here, give me everything you got, and then give me your blood. I'll take your head and your hands and your feet and your legs, and when I'm all done cutting you up and selling your pieces around town, I still won't get the money you owe me. That's how broke these guys are. Who in the world would not only go to a king who's got no apparent kingdom, but what kind of a king, even an apparent king like David, in the eyes of the world would accept these losers? Makes no sense. Well, there's a lot of typology going on here. The Bible says that Jesus is the son of David. Genetically, bloodline, it's true. Jesus didn't have a place. Jesus sometimes had to hide outside of Jerusalem in the hill country of Judea because he was being pursued. Who was pursuing King David? Saul, the king of another realm. Who does the Bible say that there is a king of another realm spiritually, a dark king? A king that resides over this fallen world, Satan. And the people who work or the people who are bound in his kingdom, what are the things that take place? Watch this. I find this extremely exciting. What does Saul say to his subjects? Will the son of Jesse give you vineyards and give you wealth and give you things? Sound familiar? What did Satan say to Jesus? Just bow down and worship me and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Hey man, that's how Satan peddles his goods. Can you imagine if he showed up on the scene? Hi, I'm Satan, follow me. People would say, oh, yuck, get out of here. He doesn't do that, he's too smart for that. He's got time too, you know, he's got time. He works in people's lives and he drops thoughts in there. And if you don't know Jesus and the Holy Spirit's not dwelling in you, your thought tank's wide open with no lid on it. And he just kind of throws stuff over there, just puts all kinds of things in there. And it lands in there and you start thinking, I think I'm gonna do this. I don't think I'm going to do that. And you know what? He will prosper you in that way. You know that? Satan will protect, keep people blind. Just long enough to get them hooked on things that Satan knows that people love. The Bible tells us in 1 John that we, before we came to Christ, and it's a temptation after we've come to Christ, is we love things like power. It's in the human heart. So Satan offers people power. Listen, power blinds you. Power is dangerous. And if a person begins to see power as they're the reason why they're powerful, man, now you got a lunatic on your hand. In fact, it's called megalomania. Or a megalomaniac. I am power. Bizarre. Power. Power is intoxicating. Freaks people out. People can't handle it. Money. Paul says that the love of money and the pursuit of money and those who seek after it pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Have you honestly, come on, have you ever really met a very rich person who's really happy? It's rare. And the ones that are trying to be happy or even kind of close, you see them nervous because they're constantly being sued by people who don't have any money. And they worry about everything. Oh, I got money. Satan blinds people with money. And then just that thing of influence that comes from beauty or whatever Madison Avenue's pumping up this week. It's a tremendous thing. And it's of that kingdom. It's of that realm. It manifests itself from the heart of Satan into the lives of men and women in the world. And we were all there. God's delivered us from it. But the temptation still pursues even the most devoted Christian. Why? Because we once belonged to a kingdom, and that ruler was the prince of the power of the air of this world, says the Bible. He was a king, so to speak. Now, I'm going to share something with you that I read by the wonderful godly man who's now with Jesus, Alan Redpath. And Alan Redpath talks about this very thing. And he says that Satan, Lucifer at the time, who was one of God's, of course, the most anointed cherub, says the scripture, And Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 talks about him and his attributes. That when Satan fell in his sin, that prior to that he was to be in some sort of dominion over the earth. But in his fall, he lost all that. And God created man. And in Psalm 8 and in Genesis, you hear how God gave dominion to Adam over this planet, and to till it and to take care of it and to nurture it and all that kind of stuff. And Redpath points out in his book, when he's talking about this, that there has got to be an extreme hatred that Satan has for mere human beings. And it is interesting to think, because first of all, we can be redeemed. Angels cannot. If they're fallen, they cannot be saved. They can't be brought back. It's only for mankind to be brought back, humankind. The scripture teaches that. That God loves us with a special love. And what's funny is, we have never seen God. Angels do. Satan sees God. We've never seen him, but we love God. And to get more into that, you can read a commentary on that thought. It's called the Book of Job. Job loved God, drove Satan nuts. And you read the Book of Job, and it's a tremendous witness of a man's love for his God who he has never seen, and an insult to a fallen angel by the name of Lucifer who stood in the presence of God and disobeyed him to his face. What kingdom are we in? His kingdom or God's kingdom? You say, well, I'm in God's kingdom. Good. Then take your distress and your debt and your discontent and bring it to the Lord. The word discontent here, discontent means that they have become, these men became bitter over prolonged disappointments. They became bitter. Well, what's amazing about this, these 400 men, in the book of Chronicles, you'll find out that these 400 men became David's mighty men of valor. They became, listen, the most, to this day, the most famous, and even in Israel, they look up to these men who are long gone. It was the greatest military force that Israel had that came through these men. You want to know why? David poured his life into these 400 guys, and they turned around and poured their lives into the Israeli army, and they became the greatest force on the planet at that time. And it all came from a bunch of losers. Men discontent, in debt, in distress. And in this we see a picture, a snapshot of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Doesn't Jesus say, come unto me, all you who are, yeah, and I'll give you rest. And he loves us. Jesus says to his followers, I don't have any place to lay my head. I'm wondering now, looking at this chapter, if they might, those Jewish followers that were hanging around Jesus 2,000 years ago, I wonder if he was provoking them to think of their own scriptures, to think of the chapter that you have open on your lap. They had this book. Isn't it wild to think 2,000 years ago they had the book open like you have in your lap? They had the book. They had this book. They had 1 Samuel 22. I wonder how many times Jesus was trying to provoke his audience to see him in the light of the forerunner in the life of David. Rejected by his brothers initially. Remember that? So was Jesus. Considered somebody insignificant. So was Jesus. Mocked. So was Jesus. Pursued for his life. Well, so was Jesus. Misunderstood. So was Jesus. David and Jesus, their lives, it's an amazing thing. It's a strange contrast. Well, there's another thing that we consider in these verses here. Look at verse 23, when he says, stay with me, David says to that young man, stay with me. Do not fear. For he who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you shall be safe. You ought to write down in your notes this. It is in chapter 22 of this book that David, from these events, wrote Psalm 34. You can read it later. If you want to know what David was thinking and feeling in chapter 22, he writes in Psalm 34 what he was thinking and feeling. Then he writes Psalm 57 regarding chapter 22 of 1 Samuel. And then he writes the 142nd Psalm. Three Psalms he writes. And you can hear and feel what he's thinking at this time. And one of the things is this. It says that I will say to the children, come and gather around me, and I will teach you the ways of the Lord. That's from Psalm 34. What's beautiful about that is, it's apparent that David takes these 400 guys, and he teaches them the way of the Lord. And we're going to end soon, but consider this right here. Watch. He trains them because they become his mighty men of valor. He trains them. That's in physical combat. And again, I told you this before, I love David. He was an amazing guy. He could write a song, then he could write a psalm, he could play a harp, pick up a sword and cut somebody's head off and go back to playing a psalm. Not that he was crazy, but he was a warrior at one moment, and when the war was over, he could sit down and write a psalm. Boy, he was really in touch with every side of himself. You know, he's just really sensitive and played the harp. Ding, ding. And then, David, the enemy's coming. Okay. And then, Lord, what was that? What was that? Pretty amazing guy. He was a tremendous soldier. So listen, he takes his disciples, 400 of them, and he trains them in the art of warfare. Physical combat. The sword for war. Then he trains them in the ways of the Lord, in the sword of the Spirit. He shows them the life of the Spirit. And he teaches them. These guys become, as history progresses in our book here, they become tremendous men in history of great feats and great battles. How did it all begin? They were absolutely wiped out in this world's view. They went from the tyranny and the captivity of one king and his kingdom to a king that apparently on the surface could offer nothing. But they followed him. Frankly, like Peter, they had nowhere else to go. They followed Christ. Jesus, no doubt at this hour, is enjoying the fellowship of Peter and Paul and John and James. These men followed David, and what happened in due time? David not only received the kingdom and the throne of Israel, but these men were great, great men under David's rule. And that's a lesson for us. As Christians tonight, when's it going to get better? We would almost feel better if somebody promised us something, but watch out. Like Satan, Saul approaches and he says, hey, who around here is going to give you vineyards and take care of you and make you wealthy? Follow me, you're going to be all right. Promises from a man who cannot be faithful to God, a man who the Holy Spirit no longer resides in. David, on the other hand, basically invites the guys to hang out, fellowship, and learn. There's never any coercion. David's men fall in love with him. They'll do anything for him. We shall see. They'll even go into enemy territory and get him a cup of water because David says, oh, I wish I had some of that Arrowhead water out of that sparkling, fresh mountain stream. And he goes to sleep, and his buddies, the part of these 400 dudes, they slip away and they risk their lives into the enemy camp to get some fresh water for David. And they say, here it is, David. We love you so much. We want you to have this water. And he said, man, you guys risked your life. Are you guys crazy? Don't ever do that again. I'm not even going to encourage such loyalty. That's crazy. And he pours it on the ground. He says, this is the Lord's water. That's a man. What a man of God. Don't you guys ever think of that idea again, because your lives are more valuable to me than me getting a drink of water. So I'm going to pour it out into the Lord. Don't do that. I need you guys. I'm running around sneaking off and getting me a little gift like that. You know those big burly dudes, they kind of went, you know, all right. They just wanted him to know that they loved him. It's kind of cool. These guys are going to have tremendous victories. The whole thing changes from chapter 22 on. How? Why? Because they left one kingdom and they entered into another kingdom. Get out of this world and into the light and into the fellowship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get out of it now. So now? Yes, now. Well, don't have to go back and kind of like, you know, bury the dead and lock up the door and plow the field and we'll go. Leave it alone. Because the bottom line tonight is every one of us, we are subjects in a kingdom that has a king. Some of us know who our king is, and you know what? We would risk our lives and cross land and sea for him just to bring him a drink of water. It's not necessary, but he has forgiven us of so much, we would give him our lives. And then there are those of the other kingdom. And the subjects of that kingdom, all they can think about, because they're just like their king, and they're just like their kingdom, is me, myself, and I. What can I get? I'm going to just take care of myself. I'm going to promote me. I'm going to push my program. I'm going to get my thing through. And you're just like Saul, who's just like Satan. And you would never want to admit that, and you would never agree to that. But what kingdom are you in? Which kingdom is it? It's not too far for us to say in verse 23 that Jesus could have said those words, "Stay with me, don't fear, for those who seek my life seek your life." Didn't Jesus say that if we loved him in this world, people would hate us and put us to death? It's all because we love him. But with, what does it say? "But with me, you shall be safe." I love it. Only with Jesus are you safe. Only with him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called "The Two Kingdoms." It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 22 and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this fascinating Old Testament book, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And remember now, this broadcast outreach of Real Radio is just part of a bigger ministry. You can hear, watch, and read messages by Pastor Jack as well. We have television programs, topical studies, commentaries, devotionals, podcasts if you'd like, and you can have it all at your fingertips with the smartphone app called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Real Life with Jack Hibbs, of course, happens to be the same name as our television program, and all you have to do is go to your app store and download it for free. This one-stop shop features Words to the Wise. That, of course, is Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can get in your email box. Our Real Radio podcasts are available, topical lessons from Scripture, verse-by-verse studies, and, of course, our Monday night TV program that bears that same title as the app itself, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. I've got it on my smartphone, and it sure makes things easy to follow. It really does. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or your tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And our telephone number, should you need it, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.